This is an Enterprise Times podcast. I'm here with Stas Zvinyastovsky.
I'm a managing director with Accenture. I work with companies all across the world, really, to help them with various aspects of software engineering, from architecture to processes to organization to culture.
We're here at DevOps World, and you've been talking about some of the things you've been doing at Accenture. But if I think about Accenture and software engineering, I tend to think of huge projects, things that go on for multiple years, complicated projects. How has that journey been moving from that traditional software to a much faster, much more agile world?
First of all, I'd like to point you to a recent book that was published by our chief strategy officer. It's called Pivot to the Future, and it talks a lot about the Accenture's transformation of our business approaches. As you rightly pointed out, we have a long history of big projects, and they were quite successful, and that's our heritage. But the world is moving much faster now, and so we also pivoted to the new over the last 5 to 7 years. And that's what we bring into the companies that we work with, both on business side and on the technology side.
How easy was it to restructure and retrain yourselves?
Well, I think that's not a question to me because I've only been with the company for 3 years. But any transformation is challenging. But we have been successful. We help other clients to also be successful in their transformations.
When you're engaging with clients, are clients immediately on board with the idea of DevOps, frequent release, much accelerated development, or is there still a little bit of education has to go on at the client?
I primarily work with the United States-based clients. At least in this market, we are no longer selling the idea of DevOps to people. People by now know what DevOps is high level. They still maybe need help with details. They understand, again, high level, the expectations of successful DevOps implementation. They don't have it. They haven't implemented it. They don't know what exact benefits to expect. But we're past the point in our industry, at least in this region, we're past the point of selling the idea of DevOps. I think they know it needs to be done. It's just a question of when it's going to happen and how.
We've broken down one of the barriers in the boardroom with cybersecurity by talking about risk rather than cybersecurity, a word that the boardroom understands. When you're trying to get a customer to understand the cost benefit of changing the way development's done, are you still talking in traditional development terms or are you using a whole different taxonomy?
When we are working with engineering leaders, they understand speed, quality, productivity. They also understand employee engagement. That's the lingua franca. We can easily have that conversation with engineering leaders. When the conversation is happening with business leaders, I think this is where translation is required. We need to be able to translate technological benefits to business benefits. Pretty much in all cases, it's context specific and it's domain specific and it's company specific.
You used a phrase when you were talking earlier, from concept to catch. It's not a phrase I'm familiar with.
It's the idea of what happens between concept, which is light bulb goes off in your head, to turning that concept into cash. From concept to cash. What happens in between? And in between you have product process, you have software development process, software delivery process, you have operations, you have business involvement. At some point it becomes about money, right? At some point a lot of ideas, businesses exist to make money, to make revenue. And so at some point those concepts need to turn into cash. And in between concept and cash, there's a long value stream of activities. What we talk a lot about is maximizing the flow of value through that value stream. Our industry traditionally has been organized just like factories around the idea of efficiency. If you look at traditional software engineering processes, they're organized around maximizing efficiency. That worked for many, many years. But at the moment that internet came along, our transaction cost to deliver something turned into virtually zero. You can literally change a line of code or even one character in a file and save it on the production server, which means that a transaction cost of delivering something could be as low as zero. And that enabled small batch sizes, that enabled speed. There are companies that showed up in the late 90s or early 2000s that started taking advantage of that speed. And today we talk a lot about cost of delay. That's the Donald Reinertsen terminology, cost of delay. How much does it cost you to delay release of this feature by a month, by 2 months, by 6 months? What we find is that in many, many, many cases, at this point, it's probably the vast majority of cases, that cost of delay outweighs cost of inefficiency. And so that requires companies to reimagine their software delivery process, really the entire value stream. You're no longer trying to maximize for efficiency, you're maximizing for value flow. To do that, at high level, you have two large instruments at your disposal. You have decentralization, so we talk about decentralizing architecture, decentralizing organizations, and you have automation. Automation of software delivery, automation of operations, and there's several other critical pieces that need to fall into place for you to maximize the flow of value. But that's the concept to cash. That's really is the critical idea to get your heads around for enterprises today.
One of the challenges with any software development mechanism is it's IT focused. Yet, if you're going to take this and bring the business with you today, the business of the people who are going out and they're looking at the value from cloud, they're looking at the opportunity to suddenly buy a software as a service that IT has historically told them will take a year, 2 years, 3 years to develop. When you're looking through that value stream, how easy is it to extend some of the concepts of agility and speed and get the business to buy into this and get the business to really participate rather than still have that mentality of software is what IT do? And business is what we do.
Many people understand it. They just maybe don't practice it yet. But they understand that IT is no longer the supporting function. It is your business. Part of it is that traditionally IT and business, they live in different organizations. They don't talk to each other or there's a wall in between. In order for you to be successful, business and tech absolutely have to work together. The answer is going to be different depending on the company, depending on the context. But what's not going to change is, yes, you have to work together. You have to develop processes, the BizTech processes, just like there's DevOps, there's BizTech, processes that enable business and technology to work together to prioritize features based on value, to get that feedback back from production, understand how the value is actually gathered in production, and take that information back into the process and act upon it.
Are you seeing from those customers you're engaging with an understanding where this solves part of that shadow IT challenge that we've seen over the last 4 years? As I said earlier, businesses going out and buying software as a service or buying a cloud service where data suddenly becomes disconnected from the organization, security becomes a significant challenge here. By increasing the agility and engaging them, are they more likely therefore to stay with an inbuilt process than just go and buy something off the shelf?
Yeah, absolutely. Shadow IT is a response to inability of IT to deliver fast and with safety. If your engineering organization gives you the ability to deliver value fast to production, why would you ever set up a shadow IT organization?
You talked earlier about DevOps covering 80% of the value stream. What's the 20% that it has yet to expand into?
DevOps, as you know, is not a well-defined term. It's quite squishy. When we talk about DevOps, I think everybody would include software delivery into the mix. Some people would also include tech excellence practices. Some people would also include operational practices. But then do we talk about Agile? They're absolutely closely related, but is it really part of DevOps? We talk about perhaps some of the lean startup practices on top of Agile. Is that part of DevOps? Probably not, but they're closely aligned and they all work together. I don't get hung up on precisely defining DevOps, but a comprehensive solution to maximize value flow must include all of those components.
One of the things we see in DevOps and IT now is instead of people pointing fingers when things go wrong, everybody says, okay, it went wrong, let's fix it. When we look at a wider business perspective, often when something goes wrong in the business, people are very quick to point fingers. They want somebody to blame to deflect what's gone wrong. As you expand that value chain and you bring everybody to work together, are you seeing that no blame culture starting to become more acceptable in the wider business?
It goes back to how you organize your organization. And if you organize it around the same North Star, regardless of the department that you work for, if you have the same metric, the same goals, then that should go away. And that's the idea behind DevOps, and it also should be the idea behind BizTech, if you will.
What cultural shifts are you seeing in organizations?
If you think about DevOps, one of the barriers to entry is the fact that the culture is changing. What's changing is your rituals are changing, your value system is changing, your normative behaviors are changing. And sometimes you're forced into it by the system. Maybe there's no more testing department, so now you have to do testing. Maybe there's no more release engineering department, you have to take advantage of that. What I've seen is developers taking a lot more responsibilities for their code all the way to production. Properly done, you see emergence of team ownership of problems. Those are probably the two most obvious cultural changes that jump at you.
We hear businesses talk a lot about their worries about being disrupted by competitors. Are you seeing them understanding that there's a way to be internally disruptive, to change the way they do things by saying, look, there's a new way, there's a new approach? Or is there still a long way to go on that line?
It takes a lot of leadership to disrupt yourself. It happens. Unfortunately, it's not as frequent as we all would like it to be. But sometimes you see those examples and you just marvel at them.
If I was to ask you to look across the customers, across your experience, what are the top five things companies need to do in order to reshape how they develop, how they become more agile, and how they become the disruptor, not the disrupted?
Addressing your software delivery process is critical in your ability to compete. When you're talking to the CEO, there's probably more pieces to the puzzle. When you're talking to the IT organization, engineering organization, there's probably 5 to 6 of those major pieces of the puzzle. As I mentioned, the two biggest hammers you have are decentralization and automation. If you go from left to right on the value stream, it probably starts with your product process that needs to become value-oriented, such as Agile. We get into decentralized architecture that enables you to move fast. If you have a monolithic architecture, you cannot move fast. Organization becomes the next impediment, so you have to decentralize that, which brings in a lot of questions. How do you govern a decentralized organization? After that, we get into technical excellence practices, such as test-driven development, behavioral-driven development, pair programming, mob programming, etc. So all of that XP practices. This way, we build quality in. This is the best way to ensure quality and speed. Then we try to break down the silos. Again, part of the organizational reimagining the organization. We used to have business analysts to developers, to build and release, to testers, to operations. So a lot of those roles are disappearing. So we're breaking down those barriers. Then we get into automation of software delivery. That brings speed, that brings determinism, that brings quality. And finally, we get into operations. So we, again, try to eliminate manual steps. We try to get into self-healing infrastructure and self-healing applications, very smart operations. Some people call it AI ops even. But a lot of it doesn't need to be AI. A lot of it is very deterministic. If you can get to deterministic automation of your operations, I think you're doing good today. All of those elements come together to solve the software delivery problem.
Stas, thank you for talking to us.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.